a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on 77 WABC, the crown jewel of American radio.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed Bo Snerdly, a.k.a. James Golden. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, here with you on WABC Talk Radio 77. We have a full schedule of news to get through. We're not going to be able to get it all. There's just simply too much. Also, in the later part of the show, if all goes as expected, and this can always change because of events that take place in Washington, D.C., but if all goes as expected, Senator Rand Paul will be with us for a few minutes toward the end of the program today. And there's a lot that we'd like to discuss with the senator, especially regarding the latest in COVID. Also, of course, the border. The story that we discussed yesterday, the pictures that were so alarming of Border Patrol agents trying to apprehend immigrants that were trying to cross over into this country illegally, or if you listen to Democrats that are legally trying to apply for asylum, that story has continued to evolve. The best way to start, I suppose, is with this story from BizPak Review. Tlaib, this is Representative Rashida Tlaib. Radical Democrats have caused an uproar in the last few days over an El Paso Times article about the crisis on the border, which falsely reported that a Border Patrol agent swung his whip menacingly at migrants before charging his horse toward men in the river. Now, Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan has had a few things to say about that, as well as many other people, including the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who revealed today that the border officials seen in the photos have been put on desk duty. But Representative Tlaib said, "This is so sick." This is what she tweeted out. "And the CPB will continue to commit human rights abuses if we don't stop it now. Cracking a effing whip on Haitians fleeing hardship shows you that this system simply can't be reformed." Vice President Harris, who we talked about yesterday, who was supposed to be in charge of the immigration crisis at the border. Kamala Harris said what she saw depicted those individuals on horseback treating human beings the way they were horrible. "I fully support what is happening right now, which is a thorough investigation into what's going on there. But human beings should never be treated that way. I'm deeply troubled about it." And the El Paso Times issued a clarification, and here is the clarification. "Our reporting team witnessed at least one agent on horseback swinging the reins of his horse like a whip. We have updated the story to clarify the fact that since it was not an actual whip." That hasn't stopped liberals in this country from taking off. There is a story, I just cited it from, let's see where this is from, Daily Mail. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas revealed Wednesday that border officials seen in photos rounding up migrants on horseback to push them back across the Mexican border have been reassigned to desk duty while the incidents are being investigated. "They do not reflect who we are as a country, nor do they reflect who the United States Customs and Border Protection is," Mayorkas said. Mayorkas said his agency is investigating the footage with tremendous speed and with tremendous force and would get to the bottom of it in a matter of days, not weeks. "We've ensured individuals during the pendency of the investigation are not conducting law enforcement duties to interact with migrants." These Border Patrol agents are being used by members of this administration and members of the Democrat Party and members of the mainstream media in this country who are subsidiaries of the Democrat Party or the Democrat Party bosses, one way or another. Pick your choice. These Border Patrol agents are being hung out to dry. They are targeted now as a force of evil. And I will tell you that this is entirely unfair. Our princess of policy, Diana Mee, pointed out yesterday that Mayorkas had reviewed the footage before the story blew up and said that there was nothing wrong with the way his agents of the agency were conducting the business. When this grew to be a controversy, in part because a very angry and bitter woman at a Little Watch cable network went public with the idea that they were using whips on these black people down there. All of a sudden, the tune changed. And now we have another racial frenzy, a race-based frenzy in the United States. Another race-based assertion that white law enforcement officers are being inhumane and worse toward black people seeking to immigrate here. And the culpability for all of this is not being placed where it should. And that is on the shoulders of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and this administration. First of all, let's deal with the pictures again for a moment. I understand why these pictures upset people. When I first saw the first shot, I'm like, what is this I'm looking at? Because it reflects a reality that many of us have seen on TV. A reality. It reflects an image of fantasy that was created in TV and movies to explain what could have happened and what probably did happen, often during the days of slavery in this country, where you had overseers or men that were hunting down black people that had escaped or that were out of line and they whipped them. And yeah, that's something that's in all of our subconscious. If we have at all looked at any media concerning what took place during slavery in our country. It's very disturbing to see these photographs. But photographs can lie. Photographs are not perfect things. They are a snapshot of an instant. And that instant can sometimes be less than a second. And by the way, anybody that follows sports will know this. You can have a photograph of something that makes it appear something is happening. And if you look at another photograph taken from a completely different angle, then you see that there can be contradictions in what you thought was the reality based on a photographic image. Photographs can fool people. But let us say, for the sake of argument, that what we saw in the photographs was actually what happened. Well, the reality is that there were no whips being used. And it is a terrible slander upon these brave people in Border Patrol who work to try to secure our borders that now they are being targeted and scapegoated once again for doing their jobs. One of the news stories I read about it, I read so many I can't cite everything for everything that I remember. But one of the news stories I read concerning this in the last 24 hours said that these agents were trained under the Biden administration. These tactics were developed and trained. Jen Psaki, a hot little firecracker at the White House, the spokesperson, condemned the actions. The Fraternal Order of Police, is speaking up on behalf of the agents with basic knowledge and two brain cells. Anyone who knows those agents use split reins. They do use them as a whip on their horses. This helps get a quicker response from the horse to move out when needed, especially when the horse may be hesitant with groups of people or other animals. Again, it is clear that those in charge, a term that is disgusting to you, have no clue about our operation and frankly operate by ignorance and unhinged emotion. Nancy Pelosi joined those voices of dissent, saying the inappropriate use of whips, by Border Patrol officers. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer lambasted images of inhumane treatment of Haitian migrants by Border Patrol, including the use of whips. This has taken on a life of its own. Nothing here comports to reality. Now the Border Patrol agent are accused, and this is now spread all over the world, that our Border Patrol agents are using whips on people trying to enter the country. The culpability for all of this lies with the Biden administration. Joe Biden, before he took office, let it be known that he wanted to reverse everything that Donald Trump had done. Donald Trump, much to the chagrin of these people that are complaining today, secured the borders. He did so despite having rhino Republicans try to stab him in the back on it. He did so having the entire Democrat Party opposed to it. He did so fighting off challenge after challenge in our court system that he had the authority, the constitutional authority, to try to correct the porous situation at our borders and the threat to national security that came through those open borders. When it became apparent that Joe Biden was going to take the White House, the surge moved into full effect. Our borders have been a mess since the day that Joe Biden took office. He has done nothing to enforce the laws of the United States and to secure the borders. Those of you suffering with COVID, and we always talk about this surge in COVID disease, how many COVID cases were introduced into the United States by people coming through our borders illegally? We don't know. But we do know that everybody that came through the border was not in pristine health. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you that. We don't know. But we have this tremendous surge of illegality at our borders, and COVID increased right along the same timelines. I think that there is a correlation to be made there. I'm going to stop right here. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-282-2882, 800-282-2882. I do want to get to some of the politics in Washington if we have time over the debt ceiling. We are not going to have time to talk about Hunter Biden. Rudy Giuliani did a great job with that. Maybe on the weekend when we have 2 hours, we can go through more of the Hunter Biden story. As I said, if all things hold out, we will have Senator Rand Paul with us in the later part of the show, which means we have to take calls earlier. So we will take your calls. We'll get to your calls earlier than usual today. And we may do rapid phones earlier than usual, so we can leave the time for Senator Paul to join us toward the end of the program. It is time to take a break, but I must tell you this. Before we go to a break, there's a flash flood watch in effect. It comes in effect tomorrow through Friday morning. If and we'll go through later and see whether that is still going to hold. But if it is, we'll talk more about that because we don't want people to be surprised. James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, here with you on 77 WABC Talk Radio 77, the crown jewel of American radio. We are looking forward to speaking with you on the phones. 800-848-WABC is the number to call. We'll be right back.
Bo knows politics and so much more. A true connection to real New York on 77 WABC.
WABC Talk Radio 77, New York. 800-848-WABC is the number to call. I understand I gave out the EIB number. That's wild. 800-848-9222 is how you reach us this afternoon and every day here on WABC. Ah, yes, Kenny Loggins. Yeah. Well, you know what, my friends? Joe Biden, as you heard if you were listening to Rudy, and you should keep the radio on all day here on WABC, Katz follows us, okay? And so Katz at night comes up on right after us. Rudy Giuliani's before this program. Mark Levin is on after Katz. Then comes O'Reilly, Rita Cosby, Dominic Cotto. And before us, before Rudy, Greg Kelly, Charlie Kirk, Brian Kilmeade, you keep it on WABC. You don't have to go anywhere else. Okay. Now listen, we're going to go to phones really soon. Biden refused to take questions. His little firecracker, Jen Psaki, I understand Peter Ducey asked, or someone asked about it. And she said, well, no one was supposed to take questions. And Boris Johnson violated that agreement and took questions. But Joe Biden refused to talk to the press, as, you know, they would never stand for this if it were Trump. They'd be having a meltdown. All of the collective panties would be in a wad at the National Press Corps. But they're not, because it's Joe Biden. And Joe Concha has written a great piece today in The Hill. The press ever so politely turns on Biden as troubles mount. He runs through them. He runs through the FDA rejecting Biden's COVID-19 booster shots. France recalling its ambassador after Biden snubbed them with the submarine deal with Australia. The drone strike that killed 10 innocent civilians. He also points out the problem that we're having with 75% of the population just having at least one dose of COVID, supposed to be an almost afterthought. The COVID deaths are approaching daily 2,000 across the country. Violent crime, Concha points out. American cities continues to outpace pre-pandemic numbers. In other words, violent crimes on the rise with Biden in numbers that it was not during the Trump years. Inflation skyrocketing. Southern border, a full-blown humanitarian crisis with more than 200,000 apprehensions in August, bringing the total apprehensions to 1.5 million for the year so far. Afghanistan, Taliban, Americans are still trapped there. And so Concha brings us back to what the press asked Donald Trump. Do you regret it all the lying you've done? That's how the press addressed our President Trump. They never address Joe Biden in that way. He's getting kid glove treatment on all of these issues. And Joe Concha over at The Hill, if you have time, go check it out, does a terrific job recounting all of it. We're going to start with the phones right now because we want to leave some time for Senator Rand Paul if he calls in near the end of the show. Rich, how you doing today, and where do we start?
Yeah,
James, how are you today?
Great.
Yeah?
Right. Yeah.
Everything's good. You're looking good? Feeling good?
Yeah, pretty good.
Excellent. So today, let us start with Rob in Oceanside.
Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77. Rob, how are you?
This is Mr.
Snurdly, can I just say one thing? Mega dittos to you, sir. Mega
dittos. Thank you.
Rush, may you rest in peace, Rush, and go to the head man and get this country back in order.
Amen.
Our country is on fire. The world is on fire. We need real leadership. Okay? Joe Biden was not elected. He was selected. Okay? This country needs a revolution. Okay? We need to get our priorities back in, our values, and who we are. Okay? Let's talk about the southern border. The most southern secure border in 4 years under President Trump. Right? Apprehensions were low. Okay? America is an exceptional country. We welcome everybody. But like my grandfather, we come in, like President Trump said, through the front door. We don't jump the fence. Okay? Those officers on those horses, if you know anything about horses, those reins, okay, tell the horses which way to move, left or right. Okay? Those boys were pulling on those reins to turn those horses because they were getting agitated. Okay? They were getting agitated. And they needed to be trained.
Rob, this is something that a lot of people have talked about. I'm glad you brought it up, the fact that these horses, the reins, they were not whips. And also, there is a technique that I understand that the officers have to use to keep people away from the horses, which is swinging those reins so that people won't come near the animals. There could be so much there. But instead, this administration, from the vice president on down to elected Democrats, all of the Democrat leadership has jumped on and accused our Border Patrol of being in the wrong before there's even a due process investigation. And I will tell you what, that just simply stinks. Rich, do we have time for one more?
We sure do. Let's say hi to Shirley in New York.
Shirley, welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you're doing well.
I am.
I just wanted to say, has anybody noticed that before Biden got in office leading up to the presidential election and after he got in, that nothing but chaos, pain, misery, and death has been connected to this man? And as far as the border situation, my question is that how many more people are we going to allow in before this country becomes overpopulated? Because if it's just an open border where people are just going to keep coming in and keep coming in such a large number, eventually we will have an overpopulation, and that's going to be a wear and tear on our resources.
Shirley, let me put it, let me say this. I don't believe in overpopulation. There is so much. If you fly across this country, you see so much land, and the government owns most of it, that is just not being used. We have room for so many more people. What we don't have room for are so many people coming in who are not aware of American culture, American history, and why we should continue the traditions that our founders laid out for us constitutionally. We have a problem that people are coming in here to take the spoils of Americans, of America, who don't want to really be Americans. They want to maintain their own identities as group identities and suck America dry of all its resources, in many cases send the money back home and not really understand what it means to participate fully as American citizens. In other words, they're not assimilating into America and becoming Americans. And that's the issue to me, not overpopulation. I thank you so much for the call. Time to take a break. We'll do that. We'll come back with more of your phone calls, and hopefully I can get in a few more stories before it's time to speak with Senator Paul.
Now, here's the soul of excellence, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on 77 WABC.
WABC, Talk Radio 77, New York. This, my friends, is the radio station you grew up with, the radio station that you loved then and love now. And we have Angie Bofill, a New York City girl, bringing us back.
The evening sun begins to fade.
This is from her first album on GRP many years ago. One of my favorite songs. And we decided to play it today because our broadcast engineer, board operator, co-producer, Rich Radovalli, my good friend for over 30 years.
Has it been that long?
It has been that long,
it's
Rich.
A long time, James.
No. Yeah. Right?
Remember the days, huh?
Yeah.
Like it was yesterday, I remember.
Exactly. And you said earlier this week, isn't summer about to end?
That's right. Today is the last day of summer, first day of fall. I forget exactly what time the equinox takes place. Normally it takes place like in the afternoon, right?
And but yeah.
I might check with Ray on Monday. What time, Ray? What time is that? You can check right now.
Cool. Well, yes, my friends, today marks the end of summer in New York.
I think Ray has that information. Tell us, Ray. What is it?
I think it's at 4:15, gentlemen. 4:15 tomorrow is when the solstice ends, but I'm gonna keep on fact checking. I love this song, by the way, Bo.
Yeah, me too. Angie Bofill's just amazing, right?
Absolutely. That's Rich Radovalli, man. His music mind, absolutely.
That's James's music mind, right?
That's true too. I got to give credit for James.
Yeah, this is Angie again. This is one of my favorite Angie Bofill records. She's just an amazing singer, right here. From New York. New York High School. She came out of the City Chorus and went into a very brilliant recording career. And Angie Bofill, God bless you wherever you are. From the Bronx, New York, I believe. Anyway, let's take more phone calls. And then there is a story that we need to get to. Look, there are a few stories. And so you're going to have to come back Saturday. Stay with us tomorrow. Come back Saturday because Saturday we have 2 hours. We're going to get to some of the other stuff. I don't know whether even Saturday I'm going to go into detail on this case that's happening with this Florida woman that was tragically killed. And, of course, everything in America has to be about race. So this has now turned into race, too. Even though she's a white gal, she was killed by her fiancé, a white guy. And now all of a sudden you have the angry woman at that little watch cable station saying, oh, this is something white girl, white missing girl syndrome or something like that. And then you had Don Lemon over at CNN weigh a that the fiance, who is now the interested party in all of this, his silence was white privilege. I mean, everything to these people has to boil down to their racial ideology. Now, let me acknowledge something. Yes, my friends, it is true. This is one of the things that the angry woman on the Little Watch cable station said, the angry, bitter woman there. That, you know, well, there are lots of black women that go missing. Yeah. And you know what? There are lots of Asian women that go missing, too. In fact, in America, there are like 40,000 women that go missing a year from what I read today. And the white ones, most of them never make it on TV. Most of the black ones never make it on TV. Most of the Asian ones, most of the indigenous Indian ones, none of them make it on TV. Occasionally you get a story that breaks through like this one because of the circumstances. Why turn it into a racial thing? And by the way, Miss Angry Bitter Woman on cable TV, you have a show. Why don't you highlight the black women that are missing, if you think nobody else in the media is doing it, instead of complaining and try to always accuse America of being somehow so racist? Good grief. People don't ever take a break. I don't care what the story is. They've got to find a racial angle to it to portray America as being a horrible country. And I've just had my fill of it. I don't understand how these networks... I mean, the network that this angry, bitter woman is on used to be a credible network, and they're owned by a big conglomerate. I don't understand how this network allows this continued downgrading of America. All this racial crap that this woman breathes out of her mouth every day. I don't know how they allow this. Anyway, telephones. Where are we going?
James, let's go to John in Bergen County.
John, welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, thank you. Good afternoon. I just wanted to make a quick comment on Rand Paul.
He's
an absolute patriot. He's been eviscerating Rob Ray on the hearings that have been going on the last 2 days. He's been speaking truth to corruption. It's been phenomenal. What they've been talking about the last 2 days is the Russia collusion. And basically, that's the biggest smoking gun in my lifetime. You have Obama was briefed by Comey. You have Clapper lied under oath. You have Clinton financed the whole thing. You have the upper echelon of the FBI lying on Pfizer applications. And you have that network that you talk about with that little lady lying about it for 3.5 years. It really needs to be covered. It'll bring down the whole cabal.
This is where I disagree with you. Nothing is going to bring these people down that we have, because they will never let the truth of this totally be exposed. Look at this Hunter Biden stuff, which I'm so tired of hearing about Hunter Biden now, because we all know exactly what this man did. We know a lot of what he did. And to this day, Hunter Biden will never, ever be held to account for what he did, because our mainstream media and our DOJ are so corrupt in this country. Now, I'm not depressed about that. Don't get me wrong. I think that this is an opportunity, and all this corruption is an opportunity for us, for the average American who sees what's going on. It's going to further push them to the polls to start throwing Democrats out in mass come 2022. But I thank you for the call, and I'll mention that to Senator Paul if we have time. Thank you. One more. Where are we going, Rich?
Let's go to Paul in New Jersey, James.
Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77 with Bo Snerdly with James Golden. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, all things considered. I do appreciate you taking the time to hear my question. So just from the simple-minded village idiot perspective, I've been asking myself this question for several weeks, even longer. So the National Guard is called out when there's like a flood in Louisiana. They're called out when there's demonstrations in Washington, D.C. And my memory's not what it used to be, but I think at Kent State, the National Guard was called out. Why can't the governors of the states down on the southern border, Texas, Arizona and such, why can't they call out the National Guard for that state, armed and ready, locked and loaded, and stand watch at the border to stem the tide? How about stop the flow of illegals coming
in? Well, look, Governor Abbott is trying to secure the borders of his state. In fact, he just lined up miles and miles of vehicles as a wall to try to do it. But this is going to take a lot of energy and a lot of effort to try to get a handle on the border. And let's be frank, Democrats and liberals in America want the borders open. They want this influx. They do not care about upholding their constitutional and legal duty. They like what is happening at the borders, which is the only reason that what is happening at the borders is happening at the borders. So, thank you for the call. You raise a great point, James Golden here, WABC. Now, as I suspected could happen, I just got word that Senator Paul is tied up in meetings that he just may not be able to get out of with some of these things. So we may try to move the interview with him till tomorrow. We'll see. I'll find out more deets when we head to the commercial break, which is right now. So stay with us. WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, back in a bit.
Welcome to the golden age of radio. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is on 77 WABC.
Days a week. So make sure you're here with us. James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, is here. And Rich, what time is it?
James, it's time for the clip of the day.
This is the James Golden clip of the day.
Is somebody asking the foreign nationals who are walking into Del Rio, Texas, and setting up camps on this side of the border for proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test?
Well, first of all, I can readdress for you or re-talk you through what steps we take.
If somebody walks into the country right across the river, does somebody ask them to see their vaccination card?
Well, Great. Let me explain to you again, Peter, how our process works. As individuals come across the border, and they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. If they have symptoms, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process. They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. I don't think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, that's Jen Psaki spin. We have Senator Rand Paul on the line. I'll come back to Jen Psaki later. Senator, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Time is short. I want to get right to it. An ex-Chinese Communist Party insider has said that China lied, covered up when COVID hit. He's saying as far back as September 2019, scientists in Italy may have found cases. There's another story. Wuhan scientists wanted to release coronaviruses in bats. We have all kinds of stories today. You have been outspoken with Dr. Fauci about our involvement, NIH involvement, in this virus. I want to ask you about trust. Americans seem to have issues trusting the information they're getting about this virus. They have for a long time. You are a doctor. You have been very, very outspoken about this virus. Do Americans have the right to be in a state of distrust with the information, with some of the information that they've been getting from their government? And if so, how can we restore trust on such an issue as a pandemic?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. They keep talking about vaccine hesitancy and people that don't trust the government. But the recommendations have been inconsistent would be a nice word. Flip-flopping would be another way to describe it, but also unscientific. When they take 100 million of us who have had the virus naturally, and they say, oh, your immunity doesn't count for anything, and that it's not as good as a vaccine, even though large studies from Israel now show that you actually have 27 times less likely to catch it if you've been previously infected than if you've been vaccinated. And this is not an argument against the vaccine. It's just an argument that if you've been unlucky enough to catch this and you survived, that you've been vaccinated by Mother Nature, that ought to count for something. Instead, they're mindlessly telling thousands of hospital workers, doctors, nurses, orderlies, you name it, who actually were brave for a year, treated those dying from COVID without any vaccine, with very poor treatment. They treated these people. Thousands of them got COVID. And now Fauci's telling you got to just blindly be vaccinated, even though you already have natural immunity from the disease. Because of this kind of response from government, yes, it's bred distrust of government, dissatisfaction, unhappiness, anger at government, and people don't know what to believe. And so then some say, well, I'm not going to believe them at all that even the vaccine works. And I think that's wrong, but it's also wrong to mandate something on a five-year-old that is not deadly for a five-year-old, but is significantly deadly for someone at an older age. But they say, oh, no one's being vaccinated. That's a lie. 90% of people over 65 have voluntarily chosen to be vaccinated because that's who the disease primarily affects. Over age 50, it's like 75% of people have chosen to be vaccinated. But they just need to be honest with people. Probably another 5% will get vaccinated if they were honest and told us the truth. But they also need to tell us that there's a treatment. If you're unlucky, some people who are vaccinated are still dying from the disease. Some people are unvaccinated. Many who are unvaccinated are dying from the disease. Tell them there's a treatment, but you have to get in time to get it. It's called IV monoclonal antibodies. Governor DeSantis has been getting it out there and making it more accessible. But the governor of my state is actually obstructing the way and saying, oh, we don't want to discourage people from the vaccine, so let's don't play up this possible treatment at all.
It's amazing to see the Biden administration actually rationed the use of that medicine in Florida, and Governor DeSantis is trying to get a workaround. We saw the president of the United States at the UN, their big meeting at the UN earlier this week. Not one nation stood up and said, we should hold China accountable for the misinformation that allowed this disease to spread. What are your thoughts about that?
First thing we ought to do is absolutely no more money for China. Do you know we're still giving China money for research? Dr. Fauci still has outstanding NIH funding that he's letting flow to the Wuhan lab. This came out in the Intercept article about a week ago. There's a study that runs from 2020 to 2025, which in all likelihood does have gain of function because most of the research has actually increased the transmissibility or the danger of the viruses. But Dr. Fauci is still allowing this. He was asked by John Kennedy from Louisiana. He says, do you trust the Chinese? And he said, yes. He said, would you still be over there? He said, it would be malpractice not to be studying the virus in the bats over there. That means he's learned absolutely nothing and does bear some responsibility for this pandemic. We may never prove that it came from the lab, but a lot of evidence is leaning towards the fact that it looks like it very much could have come from the lab.
Well, let me ask you this question. What is it going to take for to have Americans restore their trust in this government? I mean, I go back to this whole fuss over hydroxychloroquine. It was political. We had even a false a clinical study that said it didn't work, which was later refuted. And, of course, hydroxychloroquine costs pennies on the dollar compared to the treatments that are there now. What can this country do to restore the trust in the American people that the information they're getting from their government and their media is correct information?
The main thing is you want a dispersion of power and a dispersion of discussion, so not one person is dictating it. Under socialized systems or under a system like we have with Dr. Fauci, you have one individual, a titular individual at the very top, who is making all the decisions. So there's no real debate or discussion. Look, we have tens of thousands of doctors in our country. They don't always agree. You should be able to go to your local doctor and see what he says about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. Frankly, I don't know that the evidence is there one way or the other, but we should study these things. I do think the evidence is strong on the IV monoclonal antibodies, and people need to know if they do get sick, you need to get treated in the early stages of it. But the thing is, it's hard to know what works in the earliest stages, because if you take 1,000 people with COVID and you do nothing, and you take 1,000 people with COVID and you give them a treatment, guess what? 99% get better. And so when the success rate is so high, it's hard to prove that one kind of treatment actually works versus no treatment at all. But there is evidence that those who are getting sick, there are some things. There's a Dr. Bartlett out of Texas who's talking about using inhaled steroids at an earlier stage, which makes eminent sense to me. Most of the people dying are dying from an overreaction of their immune system in their lungs, leaking fluid, and that earlier use of inhaled steroids might prevent that. I asked Dr. Fauci about using steroids in the later course of the disease a year and a half ago. And he got up in front of the Senate and said, oh, we've looked at that. It doesn't work. Now in every ICU in the entire country, that's a treatment you get when you're going on the ventilator and you're deathly sick. Everybody's getting IV steroids. The same thing Dr. Fauci said, looked at me and said, oh, we've looked at that. It's not going to work. The guy's been wrong about everything. He should be fired just for lack of judgment. He should be fired.
Senator Paul, we thank you for your time. We hope you can come back and join us again. Thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you.
That's Senator Rand Paul, ladies and gentlemen, and he is letting it out honestly. Now, you can disagree or agree with him, but Senator Paul has been consistently out front with good information. This is James Golden. We will be back tomorrow, and we'll be back on Saturday. So stay with us here on WABC Talk Radio 77. Cats at Night is next. We live in the greatest city in the world, our New York City, and that means our quad state area. And we are in the greatest nation, America, that humanity has ever witnessed. God bless you. God protect you and your family.